Mondays, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
The Bills have outgained the Jaguars 140 yards to one right now. Just so you know.
It's not going great for the Jags.
How's that Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence thing working out?
Coming up this hour, we'll get back to our college football catwalk. Utah, Clemson, BYU emerging.
Yeah, don't write off Clemson. You know, it's happens. You get blown out one game and everyone writes you off, and all of a sudden you find something that clicks.
It's the dadgum mistake.
All of a sudden that Klubnik guy doesn't suck anymore.
And
do you believe?
My 3-1 Buffs.
Hey, give them some flowers, right?
Hopefully we'll
Colorado
have time.
State should have won that game.
Well, of course they should have, for God's sake.
So I'm not giving them flowers.
I mean, they won. Like, dude, we can all hate on Deion all you want, but hey, you keep winning. Although, where's Rob with your Hail Mary defense?
Great question.
I'm right here. Yeah. I've been waiting for the call.
Someone
and it wasn't Colorado State, that was Baylor.
Oh, yeah.
That they were playing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they laid it on Colorado State.
Oh, yeah. Same colors. I always mix those two up.
And by the way, Aranda may not survive this season.
Yeah,
there
he
Baylor.
Might be out.
Yeah.
And I liked him for the Ducks job.
Well, he did a real nice job down there at Baylor, but it appears to be slipping away, especially, I believe now, I think they got my Whites. I think they got the Cougs coming up next. We'll lay a beat down on you.
Hopefully we'll have time to get to our NFL Week 3 Ted Nugent. Coming up tonight in the club, we've got audio of Diddy, Thank God for Salina, Kansas, and the dying industry of late night family dining.
Oh, I haven't thought about that. Do families dine late night?
Not really.
Yeah.
But they paint them as family friendly diners.
Oh, yeah.
But it's usually just drunk people.
Sure.
You know,
I am alarmed, at least even in parts of downtown, I am alarmed at how early stuff closes nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
it's a thing.
Yeah. It's
staffing, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I went to a flower shop today.
Mm hmm.
Because you know me.
Look at you. What are you just...
I'm a flower child.
Giving Colorado their flowers?
Who are you buying flowers for?
That's none of your business.
Interesting.
But the door was locked.
Oh. Yeah, no counties?
And it's right down here in Northwest.
Like
beautiful
noon,
little Northwest.
Noon on a Monday?
It was 2 o'clock.
Hmm.
And I'm... Dumbass me. I don't see the sign on the door that says, hey, call us.
Oh. Yeah, they're in the back.
And so I called them. I don't know, I just looked up their number and called them instead of read it right on the sign. And she opened the door and she was like, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on around here. So we're in there. We keep the door locked.
Interesting.
Nice little flower shop down here.
I can see that. Isn't that saying something though?
She was a little worried.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got maybe one or two ladies working there by yourself and you're in the back.
Yeah, it sounded like she was the only one in there. Mm. So I get it. But it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Northwest Portland. It's not like we're not at Delta Park.
You're not in Beirut or anything. Or are you?
Or are you?
Hey, you listen to certain people. The world's ending and this city's a hellhole.
That's right.
Going to get murdered any day.
So that's what we have. Club 1080. I think we're ready.
Hot topics. Oh, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot
stepping
today.
All over. Buck was ready.
Hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Number eight, Oregon, 24-point favorites at UCLA this week. The kickoff Saturday night here on The Fan, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's a late one.
That is a late one. Look, I'll pay attention to that for about a quarter and see if UCLA can keep a handle on that one. Although, you know, hey, they played LSU tough. I mean, they gave them a ball game, but I would expect...
They gave them a ball game.
I would expect Oregon... If the same Oregon team that shows up that did in the Civil War, they will rout UCLA.
Well, the Bruins only lost by 17 at LSU, despite just 14 rush yards.
Yeah. Again, I...
LSU losing star linebacker Harold Perkins Jr. for the season. He has a torn ACL.
One of the best players in the country.
Yeah, most consider him a top two NFL linebacker prospect. Yep.
So I just expect Oregon to run roughshod these next 2 weeks. And then setting up the big one, hopefully undefeated Oregon, undefeated Ohio State. Let's go.
Please do be sure to listen to the Ducks postgame show scheduled for 12:30 a.m. Sunday.
Oh, my God.
How long do you guys go?
90 minutes.
So you're gonna be off at 2?
That's if the game goes on time. We're expecting to go on late.
Jesus. Are you going to be on at 3 in the morning?
Possibly. We're going to try to speed boost.
That's hot. I'm going to tune in.
No, you're not.
I'm going to solicit how many people are tuning into that.
The Pac-12, USC, and the NCAA now hit with another lawsuit. This from former Trojans running back Reggie Bush. He would like his NIL money from his playing days.
Yeah, there's so many of these lawsuits popping up, and you know.
Nothing's
been settled.
I was going to say, is there any precedent for any of this yet?
No, so the House settlement, I guess, is making some progress in theirs, and the hope from the NCAA is that will set a precedence and everything is going to have to fall underneath that umbrella. Otherwise, you're just going to keep having these pop up, and the NCAA is just going to have to declare bankruptcy. And they're just, you know, because there's more of these that get filed every single day. So the sooner one of these gets settled, and then it's going to be up to the courts to decide whether or not they all have to feed at the same trough or if each one of these, because there's one in Colorado, there's one in this one with Bush. There was another fairly high-profile player or two that just filed that, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but another... well-known former player. So, yeah, these are just going to keep coming.
Reds fire skipper David Bell with just 5 games left in the season. Couldn't wait 5 more games.
I know, really?
Like, turf the old fella. After a winning season a year ago, his team is 5 games under .500. Word is that they've got their eye on Miami skipper Skip Schumacher as a potential replacement. We've got just 4 games tonight, and that does include a very big one with the Mariners. They're taking on the Astros. It's the first of 3 in Houston. Now, Seattle would have to sweep just to have an outside shot at the division over the final weekend. But in the wild card, the Mariners are just 2 back of that second spot, which is currently held by the Tigers and Royals. And then the Twins are 1 back. So 2 of those 4 teams will make it.
Yeah. And the nice part is that, I mean, I hate to say this, but if you lose this one tonight, the Astros clinch, right? So they got nothing left to play for. And then the A's certainly have nothing left to play for. You know, maybe you lose this one, and then you win 5 in a row, and hopefully something weird happens with Minnesota and Detroit. But your chances are not great.
Reports Gonzaga is leaving the West Coast Conference to join the Pac-12. They would get full revenue share despite not having football.
Boy, you want to talk about a weird sort of desperate ploy? Now, do we know if that, because you need 8 to be considered a conference, but would that technically be 8? Even though
I think it would.
So,
I mean, they'd be a member.
So you'd have 7 football conference teams, and boy.
Well, I don't know. Pac-12 is going to be adding Utah State.
Yeah.
This after Air Force and UNLV reaffirmed a commitment to the Mountain West today. And we also had Memphis, Tulane, South Florida, and Texas San Antonio all announcing that they were staying in the American Athletic Conference.
So you got turned down by UNLV and the likes, and you had to settle for Utah State and then go grab Gonzaga that doesn't play anything really other than basketball. So now you're at 7. I guess 8 if you count Gonzaga. The Mountain West would be at 7. Can you just reverse merge this thing again? Kiss and make up, and instead of having 2 weird 7 or 8 team conferences in the Mountain West.
By the way, the Mountain West was able to keep their core 8 there together, including UNLV, because they are offering one-time payments of guaranteed money, which is, ironically, that's the money coming from the 4 schools that are leaving to go to the Pac-12.
It's not great.
Jesus.
It's not great at this point.
What the hell is happening?
Well, you're piecing together a conference even though no one really wants to be a part of it.
2 games tonight on Monday Night Football for some reason. The 2-0 Bills are hosting the winless Jaguars. Buffalo is up 13-0 thanks to a James Cook 6-yard rushing tutty and a Dalton Kincaid 6-yard receiving tutty.
Josh Allen 11 of 14 for 116 and a tutty. So much for that whole who's he going to throw the ball to.
Well, I've been watching it. He He's tried to turn it over, but the Jags just can't quite get it.
Jags like, I don't want that.
The Bengals, a touchdown favorite over the Commanders as Cincinnati looks to avoid an 0-3 start. That kickoff here shortly. The Chargers host the Chiefs this week before a bye. X-rays are negative on Justin Herbert's high ankle sprain. He is in a walking boot. They'll monitor him. And the Niners are losing linebacker Javon Hargrave for the season. He tore his tricep. Meanwhile, they say running back Christian McCaffrey is off to see a specialist for his Achilles in Germany.
Boy, I'm not certain that you want the best player in the NFL having to go to Germany. Although, over there, you can do stuff that you can't do in the United States.
Uh-huh.
That's like where Kobe and all the NBA guys
didn't Brandon Roy go over there?
Yeah, so you can get some stem cells. You can do all the different kinds of PRP stuff that isn't available over here. So, you know, I guess you can say that there's more advanced treatment, but the fact that you're having to go over to Germany, that's kind of a scary thing.
Your Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
And as Dwayne points out, are we now just, is every school in the Pac-12 a state school now?
Yes, and well, not if you count Gonzaga. Well, but Gonzaga's not official yet.
They're not
official. But I tell you what, I am with Dwayne. I love the fact that every single school
state.
Is so it's Oregon State, yeah. San Diego State, Washington State, Fresno State, Colorado State,
Utah State,
and
are we missing one?
Did I say Boise State already?
Did I say Boise?
Boise State? There you go.
That's fantastic.
It's the conference of state schools. So just add North Dakota State and get it over with.
Exactly.
Let's go.
All right, coming up next, we'll get back to our college football catwalk. Some teams emerging in the college football landscape. Including my Utah Utes. It is Isaac and Suk. This is The Fan. That is so unfortunate.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate drop.
I'm not really going to do that. Or am I?
If Kansas loses to BYU, you have to shove some sort of Mexican dish deep in there.
I'm on the phone with Victor Rico's.
Maybe a tostada, if you will. Some chips and salsa.
I feel like, do you think we're going to be talking an inordinate amount of Big 12 football this year? Because I feel like we will. Yeah. Because it's exciting.
It is exciting.
It almost feels like
the new Pac-12. Like, yeah. The whole Pac-12 for dark. Pac-12 is drunk.
It's wide open, man.
Yeah, it's so wide open. Like, if I told you, okay, so I'm looking at the standings here.
Yeah.
If I told you BYU would win it, Utah, maybe Arizona, Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe even a TCU or something. You would be like, yeah, I could see that.
Sure.
I mean, it's just a wide open race.
No, I don't think there's a great team right now. I think Utah is probably the best, but no one trusts Utah because they at times they look so dodgy, and you know Rising's going to get hurt again. Yeah,
he didn't play. I thought they said he was going to play.
Yeah, they said he was going to play, and then they didn't.
He didn't.
They went with Baby Wilson.
Yeah, who looks just like his brother.
Yes.
If you don't know Isaac Wilson, the Utah quarterback is Zach Wilson's brother.
Yeah, but they looked pretty good against Oklahoma State. But again, now we don't really know how good Oklahoma State is because we thought Arizona looked good and they got hammered by Kansas State. And then Kansas State gets their ass kicked by BYU. I just think it's going to be one of those fun up-and-coming conferences. Whereas in the Big Ten and the SEC, you kind of think you have your big boys. In the ACC, it kind of feels like it's Miami and maybe Clemson and everyone else. But in the Big 12, you're right. It's just, it kind of feels like any given week. And the new Pac-12 After Dark is kind of the Big 12 After Dark, unless you're Washington State, because that thing was bananas too, with San Jose State going down to the wire. And they found a way to pull that thing out.
Yeah, I'm looking at Utah's schedule here. And they're 4-0, just passed a big test at number 14, Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Good win. There aren't a lot of places where they trip up.
No.
And the thing about the Big 12 champ is, the Big 12 champ is going to get a top 4 seed in the college football playoff tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Which is huge.
It's absolutely enormous. So it will be interesting to see, like, imagine if it's, let's say, Utah or, you know, I don't know, Iowa State's, they're ranked too, right? Iowa State?
They are, but so there's only two ranked teams left on Utah's schedule, mm-hmm. at least right now.
Well, BYU will be ranked this week,
and it's
right?
BYU and Iowa State, yeah. And they get both of those games at home.
Imagine one of those that gets a bye, and then your reward for that is, like, Georgia comes calling in the in the college
football. Well, that's what you signed up for,
that's
right?
What you signed up, I mean, exactly, that's, right?
You know, you got a place at the table.
Yep.
By the way, Snook, we do have this week's rankings. BYU is 22.
Okay,
so they're right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go Cougs, go Cougs. It is interesting, right? So this is why the rankings are so weird. And believe me, I don't think BYU is the 13th best team in the country. I just don't.
13th, they said. He said 22nd.
But follow me on this one.
Following.
Yeah. So Kansas State was 13th in the country, and BYU housed them. I mean, housed them. So isn't it weird that you can be the 13th ranked team in the country because you're undefeated and, you know, your best win is Arizona, and then you play BYU, who's not ranked, and they're undefeated, and they just wipe the floor with you, but BYU's 22nd and Kansas State was 13th, right? It's rankings are so subjective. The bottom line is there's not much difference between 13 and 25, but BYU is not the 13th best team in the country. They're just not. You know, they're a good team, but I say this to, like, Washington State fan and Oregon State fan. I think, you know, do this all the time. Like, Washington State fan before last week was like, hey, Cougs for the playoffs. I'm like, oh my God, really? And then you damn near, you should have lost to San Jose State. And I still hear from Coug fans that are like, hey, you know, we look at our schedule. This idea, when you aren't a great team, and I hate to say it, but Oregon State, Washington State, BYU, you know, none of those teams are great teams. Those teams don't go undefeated. You will get nicked once, twice, maybe three times. It should have happened to San Jose State. It's a fun story. It's a great team. You had a big win at the Apple Cup. You know, like you go out in these group of five teams. These are good teams. And yes, occasionally they can pull off big wins. But these teams don't go undefeated because to go undefeated in college football, that's not a fluky thing. You got to be damn good, which is why it usually doesn't happen, even when you play a wonky schedule, unless you're like Liberty and you play literally nobody.
But I think the cool thing is, at least when we're talking about the Big 12, is it doesn't really matter how many games you lose. You just win the league.
There. Yep.
If you win the league, you're going to be a top four seed,
yes,
right?
Which is why, like, the group of five thing, if you want some solace for the Pac-12, the Beavs and the Cougs, it really doesn't matter if your group of five or group of six conference is the best or the worst. These conferences are all the same. They're all kind of the also-rans. So just win. Like, honestly, yep, it does not matter your strength of schedule. If you go undefeated in your group of five and you have a win or two over a power four conference team, even if it's not like a great win, that should be enough to get you at the table, because Dave Bartu talks about this all the time. Strength of schedule is the most overrated thing in college football. We look at record, and you're only going to get one shot at this. And I would rather be, if you're a group of five team and you play a very average schedule, but you're 12-0 versus someone that's 10-2, but with a killer schedule, guess who's going? The 12-0 team or the 11-1 team. So that's the thing to take out of this, is you don't need style or beauty points anymore. Just play who you got to play and put W's on the board. And if you do that, you've got a shot. You've got a shot at getting to the dance.
Dennis Dodd had a little thing in his, he was talking about realignment, but there was one little nugget in there that I pulled out. He said that in the last 10 years, well, no, he said that they ran the numbers over the last 10 years and looked at a 12-team playoff, mm-hmm, but did it for the past 10 years,
sure,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, the way they would do it now, but went back.
But with the results of the last 10 years. And he said that on average, there were 7.73 playoff spots out of the 12, mm-hmm, that were from the Big Ten or SEC.
Sure.
Basically meaning that there are only four spots from any other league.
Yeah.
So you better win the Big 12.
Yeah.
You better win the ACC. Yeah. And if you don't,
thanks for coming,
you better have one hell of a record and be ranked really high.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. That's why I think the Big 12 race is really fun.
Yeah.
And the ACC race is really fun, because you could be Miami and be really good, or what you think is really good. But then, you know, you lose a couple down the stretch, you give up the title to Clemson or whatever, and dude, you ain't in that tournament.
Thanks for coming.
You got to win that thing.
You got to win.
So it actually has enhanced the idea, at least maybe not the Big Ten, the SEC.
But the Big 12.
But it's enhanced the idea in the other leagues of conference championships matter.
Yeah, yeah. It's to be fun. And I do think that, you know, the group of five stuff, as we come down, normally I could give two flying rips who wins the Mountain West or the AAC. But this year, all of a sudden, you'll kind of be looking around being like, oh, well, I mean, all right, what are we doing? Where, who's going where? So even for those schools, it adds a little extra juice to it. I'm with you, man. I do not buy for 1 second that the playoff has hurt the regular season.
And as I predicted, Illinois and Indiana leading the Big Ten here at the quarter poll.
Right? Kurt Cignetti, Google me, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, are they pretty good?
Well, they're pretty good for what we've seen.
And is Oregon lucky to have ducked them?
is that where we're at now? We're ducking the mighty Hoosiers?
Well, they got Illinois. Oregon's got Illinois, right?
Yes, I think Oregon does get Illinois.
You know, that was a nice win at Nebraska there.
Yes, it was.
So Illinois is coming to Autzen. Get ready. Brett Bielema is coming to town.
Well, you know, we talk about this every year, no matter what conference it's in. And we'll see what Oregon, you know, looks like here in the coming weeks, right? Did you solve your issues after the first 2 weeks and everything was solved with the Beav game? Or, you know, do some of those things end up lingering around? But every year, like, you get a team, and we know at the end of the year, and no one should know this better than Oregon, you know, going on the road at night to Arizona or Arizona State or Washington, you know, with their season, and damn near got derailed down at Arizona last year. Remember, the year before that, it did get derailed by the third string walk-on against Arizona State. There will be a funky game, and maybe it is Illinois. Maybe it's Maryland. Maybe it's Wisconsin. Oregon could be cruising, and there is going to be a game at the end of the year that your pucker factor is going to be like a 13, because that's just the way football works. We want to say that these teams can never be beaten, and yet we look every year, how many undefeated teams are there? Not many. We're dealing with kids here, and it's hard to especially go on the road in November and play in some of these environments.
How about my Colorado Buffaloes?
Do you believe?
Now 3-1.
Boy, how did they pull that?
Pulling that game out?
I mean, you want to talk about pulling a frozen burrito out of somewhere.
God.
I give you Colorado.
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, I got to give them something. They're pretty, as annoying as Coach Prime is, and he is annoying.
Yes.
And an eye roll at this point. They're pretty fun to watch. Like, they're exciting. I don't know what it is. It's Travis Hunter. Maybe it's Shadur.
Well, they play this weird. They're not good. Let me state for the record. That is not a well-coached football team. It's not a disciplined team. But it's I don't know the best way to put it. It's chaotic, and chaos sometimes can be fun.
Yeah.
Because there's no rhyme or reason to what's going on. Stuff just happens.
Well, sometimes teams just have a knack for getting into wild games.
Yeah. And that's,
you know, I feel like the Chiefs are this in the NFL. I mean, they're wild.
Yeah.
And they're oftentimes lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also have great players making great plays when they need it. That is just, some teams just have that. Colorado kind of has that. Yeah. They get in these wild ones. If you didn't see it, homeboy, like, they're losing to Baylor at home. And freaking Shadur hits, was it Hunter or was it other guy?
It was the other guy.
Wester, I think.
Hits him right in the chest and he drops the ball.
Yeah.
He drops the ball, forcing a Hail Mary, which was the worst Hail Mary defense I've ever seen in my life.
Shadur runs out of the pocket, wings one kind of side-armed, and
barely got it off.
Barely
and the
got
guy
it off.
Catches it.
Yep. They barely caught it because it almost hit the ground.
Yeah, they get to overtime, and then they score, but then Baylor's about to score, and Travis Hunter spears this guy,
fumbles.
And the guy fumbles on the goal line, and Colorado lays on and wins the damn game.
Just the damnedest thing.
The luckiest win of all time.
Yeah. Look, Colorado is not good, but I get that you can hate on Shadur Sanders. I don't think you can really hate on Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter's really good, and Shadur Sanders is better than
like, Shadur's good.
Shadur's good. I mean, that is a very average team that has a really good quarterback that's asked to do a lot. I said this, you can hate on him because he takes sacks and he kind of plays like a jackass sometimes. He kind of has to, because that team isn't very good. If he played in a better offense with more structure around him, I think he would actually, you wouldn't be able to criticize him that way. But Travis Hunter is really good. I'm fearful for Travis Hunter. The fact that they play him 100 snaps a game, I just wonder.
It's crazy.
I mean,
we talk about Shohei. Is Travis Hunter the best player in college football?
I don't know.
Dude, he's doing it on both sides.
I don't know if he's what he's doing. I've never seen someone do it. It worries me, because I get that he's not a running back, but how many times do you see kids in college, mostly running backs or sometimes linebackers? I've been a little bit with me. You get used up. And he has been dinged up a lot in his career. I think it's kind of malpractice to play him 120 snaps a game. I hope that you know, there's only so many punches your body can take.
Well, and he's kind of proven what he needs to prove at this point in time. I mean, seriously. I know they're trying to win. They're 3-1. Like, they're going to keep putting him out there, and he's one of their best weapons, but there's not a lot more for him to do there.
Well, what would he do? Like, if he concentrated on one side of the ball, would he be even better?
Yes, 100%.
Which side would he be a better pro prospect?
Well, he came out as a corner.
I thought so.
He was supposedly the number one corner when he came out. And look, I am not a corner whisperer, and I'm not a wide receiver whisperer. And I'm not saying that I watched the all 22 of Colorado, but from my view, at least right now, I think he's actually a better receiver than he is a corner. But I also think he spends a lot more time at receiver. When he's at corner, I think he gets had sometimes, but I also wonder, because of all the routes that he runs, like, you can kind of, it's easier to, I'm not going to say lollygag, it's easier to conserve energy on offense and not get exposed. When you're a DB and you're a little gassed, if you've got heavy legs, it shows up way more on film. And so I think he's a better receiver, but I don't know that if he actually just focused on corner, if he would be better at that. But in college, he is a better receiver than he is a corner. And maybe at the next level, you know, maybe that's what he projects as. But this whole two-way crap, that the NFL ain't doing that. You ain't playing 100 snaps in the NFL.
Yeah.
Not when we're giving you that money. You won't last.
Although, did you see that one, that Chargers guy who's playing special teams, offense and defense?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 44 snaps a game or something, but yeah.
What's his name?
His last name is Matt Locke. I can't remember his first name, but he plays fullback, D-line, and then special teams.
He's kind of doing like a Jack Coletto thing that he did for Oregon State, but he's not a focal point of anything. No one's drafting a kid number 4 overall and then being like, hey, we're playing.
Do both.
you're doing both.
Do you think more players could play both sides in college?
I think they could. But again, for a long-term future, I don't know why you would. You are taking a lot of punishment to your body that you don't really need to. And I do think it hinders. He is not the defensive player he could be because of the snap count that he plays.
Yeah, but I think if you're just trying to, if you just look at it through the college lens, if you're just trying to help your team win.
Oh, 100%.
If Travis Hunter is your best athlete, well, let's put him out there on the other side.
I think you could probably do that
with a lot of guys. Yeah.
Because every one of these kids that's the elite players, they all played both ways. And I mean, Jackson Powers Booth did it, or Jackson Powers Johnson did it for Oregon.
Powers Booth, nice reference.
Yeah.
Tombstone.
Yeah, who's Tombstone. That? It was the old Tombstone,
deceased actor Powers Booth.
Yeah, wow. He played Curly Bill.
True story.
In Tombstone. There's a lot of kids that have transferred over, or you know, or they start out as a tight end and they move to a D end. But I've never seen, even Charles Woodson, who won the Heisman, doing this. I've never seen a college player that plays he truly plays 90% of the snaps on both sides of the ball. I've never seen anything like it. I honestly don't know how he has the gas tank to do it. Remember, he was hurt a lot last year.
And he's not the biggest guy.
I am skeptical that this can last an entire season.
All right, the college football catwalk continues next. Where are we placing Josh Heupel among the top coaches? Here's Buck. All right, what's up? I did get the answer to why we have 2 Monday night games tonight.
Okay.
And it's thanks to P1 Scott, who looked it up. This is the first of 4 weeks where we will have 2 Monday night football games. It happens again next week, and then we'll get one in week 7 and week 15. It's part of an 11-year contract ESPN ABC signed with the NFL in 2021.
So they want, I don't know. It just seems weird that you're on, I mean, 2 competing networks, but you're not really competing because it's under the same umbrella. I mean, I guess this hedges against the idea if the Monday night game sucks. Like this one, Buffalo is beating the brakes off Jacksonville. Lawrence just threw an INT. Doug Peterson's about to get fired. So maybe because that game sucks, now we can flip over to the other one.
But again, you mentioned it earlier. I still don't know why we wouldn't have done the thing that has happened in the past where we start one at like 4:30 and the next one at 8 or whatever it is. Like space them out so they're not overlapping.
So next week we get Titans, Dolphins. Oh, my God. Whoa. Worst quarterback matchup ever? Because Skylar Thompson's probably not going to play, right? Who's it going to be for Miami? And then they're going to go against Will Levis, who's the worst quarterback I've ever seen?
Well, Will Levis, well, you don't want me to start.
Dude, he's terrible.
You don't want to start me on a
Will Levis. I'm sorry. He's terrible. And then we also have Seahawks Lions here on the Fan next Monday. So unfortunately, we don't have a
show. Skyler Thompson got his head bounced off the ground. I mean, that thing was bad from behind. Was that a shoulder? Are they saying concussion? What was actually?
No, I don't think it was a concussion. I thought they said
he got drilled from behind, and it looked, because I didn't see that the play, but I saw the replay of it, and I was like, ooh, that didn't look good. And then, he obviously didn't come back in the game.
Yeah, they called it a rib injury.
Is it a rib? Yeah, it's from behind, and it's pretty vicious. Look,
so Tyler Huntley next week maybe, because they signed him off the practice squad from the Ravens.
Because they brought in
last week.
They brought in Boyle was the other.
Yeah, he came in after Thompson went out.
Was it Tom Boyle? What is
Tim?
His name? Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle. But yeah. I know that when Tua went down, they immediately signed Huntley. So maybe they're getting him up to speed, and he'll be the guy next week.
Look, it doesn't matter, right? The Dolphins were fool's gold going into this season, and you know they're going nowhere, and. Let me just say, for all those Tua haters out there, because I didn't love the Dolphins. Like I said, they just beat bad teams. They never beat good teams. It's smoke and mirrors. But for all those that hated on Tua, I want you to realize that when Tua's in there, that's a top three offense in the NFL. And every time Tua's hurt, can we see what they are now and maybe give Tua some credit? Like, I get it. He's got weapons, and I get it. He's got a head coach that's a pretty innovative guy. Yeah, if you want to see how valuable Tua is, look at them when anyone else is in at the quarterback position. So,
one more college game to address here. Tennessee is really the game of the weekend. I mean, besides maybe USC Michigan, which we talked about earlier.
Those are the two big ones.
Yeah, Tennessee took care of business against Oklahoma. That one, I don't know. Oklahoma's offense is so bad.
It's not good.
That I'm not sure how big that was for Tennessee, but you know, it's never easy to go play Oklahoma. Venable's a good coach.
No, I think in a hostile environment,
and they have a good defense, but they did it and they took care of him. I don't know how the hell Jackson Arnold is a college quarterback.
Well,
I mean,
I'd like to point
out
that at one point, so Orgy was a five-star quarterback, and I believe Jackson Arnold was too. He's like two of the best high school quarterbacks in the country. And,
he's
my God.
Awful.
They are all kinds of bad.
And so Arnold got benched.
Yeah, they benched him for, I don't remember who the other kid was they brought in, but, you know, I guess it got a little better. But because Oklahoma scored, I don't know, a couple garbage ones at the end there to try to make it somewhat competitive. But Tennessee was in firm control of that. I mean, I think at one point it was 21-3, I think, going into the fourth, if I'm not mistaken. Tennessee just took care of business. And if you're talking about the best teams in the country right now, and again, I don't know what you make of North Carolina State, I don't know what you make of Oklahoma, but Tennessee right now looks the part. And I think in 2-3 weeks they get Alabama, and that'll be a little better test. But, you know, we thought Tennessee was going to be good coming into the year, and that Nico kid, again, looks to be the real deal. They've got NFL players on defense, and I think Tennessee is a serious contender.
Where do we put Josh Heupel in the excellent coach?
I think he's
rankings.
I think again, you got to do it for more than.
Is he a little unproven yet? Or
he's a little unproven, but I think right now you kind of give him the same kind of. I think he's a younger kind of Lane Kiffin right now. Seems to be a bright offensive guy. Puts together good teams. Now let's just see you do it on a regular basis, and you got to get over the hump, right? Like you've had some decent wins, but. You know, if you want to really be considered one of those elite coaches, you got to start making the playoffs and hopefully start winning a game or two.
They do get Alabama and they play at Georgia, so they have to play both of them.
Yeah.
So far at Tennessee, he is 31-12 and has an Orange Bowl win that second season when he went 11-2. They beat Clemson in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, and that was the one, I think, where Hooker got hurt. They were cruising and then they lost one with Hooker, and then I think he blew out his knee.
Yeah.
Tennessee, if you're saying playoff teams and you know a couple are coming from the SEC, I mean, right now I think you got to look at it and you say that absolutely Tennessee looks like it's one of those teams.
So by the way, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to tee up this audio, which maybe that's what you were going to do too.
Well, I was going to say, I know that we also talked that October 12th is like the marquee date. That's the date that Oregon plays Ohio State, and there's all those other great games that day. Now people are starting to circle October 19th, the following Saturday. Number 1, Texas hosts Georgia. Number 5, Tennessee hosts Alabama. Number 4, Alabama.
Damn.
That's fun.
So you got 1-2 and 4-5 if it stays right there.
That's good stuff.
But yeah, no, I do have Heupel audio because obviously he played at OU, won a Heisman at OU. Got fired by OU. And he was saying all week, the game's not about me, the game's not about me. And then he had this post-game speech.
Winning on the road's tough. Winning on the road against a good football team's tough. They're good. Okay? We're going to continue to face better as we go. Played well tonight. Anybody think we played our best tonight?
Yeah, no.
Good teams keep getting better. Keep getting better. I'm proud of the investment, the competitive composure, resetting to the next play, continuing to compete. Man, it's just us being us, all right? And let's just keep making us a better version every single day. You guys got me?
Yes, sir.
All right. This thing, coming back to normal was never about me. It's not. But I appreciate you all having a little extra for me.
It was, hey, it was a big one for you.
You imagine, right?
Bow your hands, grab two.
We did that for you, Coach. I did game ball for you.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, you win a national championship there at Oklahoma, right? You go and you get your dream job there. You think you're the next coach and the next, and then you get canned. And, you know, Lincoln Riley comes in there and has all that success. And yeah, I imagine that is a really, really emotional thing. And he tried so hard to downplay that to his kids, but you heard that in his voice, what that game meant. And those players knew it. That's kind of one of those cool things that, that makes college football special.
Was that the one they beat Florida State in the final, in the championship?
Who did they win? Did they beat Florida State in that?
I think it's who they.
I'm trying.
And
to
Florida State was like a big favorite. I think they knocked off. Yeah, they knocked off Bowden.
Was that Bowden? So who would have been Oklahoma or Florida State's quarterback? I'm trying to remember. It was Bob Stoops' second year. Well, let me pull it up right here. So it'd have been. Sooners man, Texas, Kansas State, and Nebraska in consecutive games to win the national championship.
Yeah, the final was 13-2 in the 2001 Orange Bowl. They shut him down.
13-2?
Yes, it was 13-2.
Boy.
You believe that?
2 points in your bowl game.
How about that? All right, well, go Oklahoma. That was the whole big game, Bob. And then after that, not so much. Because the one year that they did play in the national title game, that was when they broke every offensive record known to man with Sam Bradford, and they played Florida. And Florida just curb-stomped them. And Oklahoma's offense did absolutely nothing.
They lost. Let's see. Who was their quarterback that year? You got me. Oh, it was Winkie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Chris Winkie.
So they came back and won it the next year then.
They won it.
Or they won it the year before, because Winkie won a national title there at Florida State. I played that team. They kicked our ass.
Yeah, they won it the year before.
Yeah. So this would have... They
were going
go
for their second.
And Oklahoma said, that's
Oklahoma
so fast.
Oklahoma said, you...
Said, nope.
You will get nothing but a safety.
Nope. That was a good team. They had like Tommy Pauly and Peter Warwick, Chris Winkie. Those guys were good.
Yeah, name another player on the Oklahoma team besides Josh Heupel. Bet you can't.
Gosh, I don't remember who would have been on those on that 2000 Oklahoma team. I don't know. I'll bet you there's names that you know, if you went back and looked at it.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Because that would, like, McCoy and those guys would have come after that. That wasn't, like, an Adrian Peterson. That wasn't a Gerald McCoy.
Quentin Griffin.
Okay, Quentin Griffin. Roy Williams wouldn't have been on that, right? The safety, he was after that. I mean, all those guys were after that. Like I said, that was like when I was playing college football.
Yeah, they had Quentin Griffin, J.T. Thatcher. Do you remember that guy?
Not really.
Mark Clayton was a receiver who went on to play in the NFL.
That I'm aware of.
The great Tim Duncan kicking for them. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Roy Williams, the safety, was on that team.
Okay, he was.
All right. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So I knew two. How about that?
Do you remember Rocky Kalmus?
I do. Linebacker.
Yeah, he was on that team.
Yeah, he was the dirty white guy that always had like a cast on his hand. He was like the quintessential Oklahoma player.
Dan All right. Cody on that team too.
Well, I'm trying to think. We're going to have to get to some more college football leftovers tomorrow.
Okay.
I've got some stuff left. Well, we haven't talked about the Beavs, you know.
No, hey.
The Beavs ground and pound.
Dude, I get it's Purdue, but if you're in state, you've got an identity now. I mean, you know what you are. And it didn't work against Oregon, but it sure as hell worked against the other teams you played, and you bludgeoned Purdue. And by the way, the score was not even indicative of how much of an ass-kicking that was.
All right, we'll be back. Isaac and Suk on the Fan.
Sands through the hourglass, the days of our lives. Brett McMurphy has it. UNLV apparently back on the table for the Pac-12.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Because of moving pieces, UNLV has not signed and fully committed to the Mountain West and is still considering the Pac-12, sources told the Action Network. So apparently they're...
Why? What's going on? What does that mean, moving pieces?
I don't know. Apparently...
Bigger, better offer?
I guess just, you know, kind of leveraging it. So they told the Pac-12 to go blank themselves originally because they didn't take them in the first wave. And then the Pac-12 was like, we don't need you. We'll go to the AAC. AAC told them to go pound sand. So now you're back to UNLV. And now maybe UNLV using the Mountain West leverage to get a better deal out of the Pac-12. I don't know. But they have seven. They need eight. And UNLV would make eight. Not that, I mean, does UNLV move the needle for anybody? But there you go.
I think it'd be cool to have them just because they're in Vegas.
Sure. Although I don't like the fact that it's not state. Can we make it? Yeah. Be there, you know, right now we got seven states. I'd really prefer if we went out in like maybe a Texas state sort of thing, you know, North Dakota state.
Well, hey, but the Pac-12 got Utah State today.
Yes, they did.
And I don't, I mean, boy, if that isn't a big meh, I don't know what is. I guess they're pretty good, right? I mean, they're generally pretty good. Seem like they care.
Yeah, they care. Yeah.
Where is that?
That is in Logan, Utah.
Logan. Is Gary Anderson still there?
He is not. I think he's done. I don't think he's anywhere, but he went back to Utah State after the, unfortunate, circumstances at Oregon State. And then I think he left, but remember Utah State's the one that fired their coach and then their coach is suing them. They fired their coach this year because of, like conduct detrimental. And then
this season.
Yeah. This season.
He's already been fired.
He got fired before the season with cause.
That's right.
Really?
Well, yeah. Well, I forget what the
Blake Anderson. Or it says here Blake Anderson or Nate Dreiling?
I think Blake Anderson got fired and Nate Dreiling is taken over.
Yeah, Dreiling's the one that took over.
And was it text messages he sent? What was it? I can't remember what it was. It was kind of like I don't know, verbal abuse and stuff like that.
Something like that. There was some sort of misconduct and I think no one's really saying what the allegations are, but apparently they did an internal investigation and they canned him and said that it's with cause, they're not gonna pay him. And then it's Blake Anderson. And then Blake Anderson was like, I didn't do anything. And so obviously he's going to sue, but.
I'm seeing a headline here that he was fired for contacting a potential domestic violence victim and witness to the incident. So he may have been trying to do the Art Briles cover up something heinous crime against woman type deal.
So welcome to the Pac-12. Utah State. We played Utah State every year. That was our other in-state rival besides, the University of Utah. So I've done a couple tour of duties at the old Aggie Stadium.
Well, that's great.
Damn. Look, I'm just saying, if you're an Oregon State fan and you're thinking about road trips on where you want to go see another team play, you can skip Logan. You don't need to go there.
By the way, we've got Angry Old Guy on staff. Did you know this?
Well, what do we got?
It's usually you and I, but...
Yeah, what's happening?
Today it's Buckley because he thinks it's bad that Dan Quinn is wearing a backwards hat tonight.
It's not an angry old guy thing. I just think 60-year-olds wearing a backwards hat look kind of dumb.
Yeah, he looks especially dumb out there tonight.
I think he's a good coach.
He's only 54.
Oh, he's only 54?
Okay.
Well, he usually wears the hat backwards in the booth.
Yeah, he's a hat backwards guy.
But now he's a head coach in Washington, and he's still doing that on the sideline.
That is a very Colin Coward spec.
Colin's not gonna
he
like
owns that.
That
corner. That's his.
Yeah, that's his bit.
Well, I mean,
Tony Romo.
I don't know. Do you still ever go hat backwards?
Matt Stafford every once in a while.
Once in a blue moon.
I don't really know why I do. I just do. I'm just like, you know, I'm gonna put this on backwards right now.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes I don't go out in public like that. I just have it. Like if I'm at the house, like putting around or something, but then if I get in the car and go somewhere, I turn it around.
I don't know when it changed for me, but I have officially reached the old man age where I do not turn my hat around.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
I've been there for a while now. I used to do it all the time, and it's like, it just feels out of place all of a sudden. I don't know.
I don't know what it was there. And I don't remember making a conscious decision that I'm no longer wearing my hat backwards.
Yeah, me neither.
But, I just was like, yeah, that's it's not happening. But Dan Quinn at 54, hey man, if you just own it, because like when I see like Will Ortner, he's a big hat backwards
guy. Every day.
like, that's his thing.
But he's like 25.
Yeah, he's like 25. So it becomes your thing. But at some point, you just look in the mirror, you're like, ooh, that's a little too old for
him. Has Colin called out Dan Quinn yet?
I don't think so, but that's got to be coming, right?
Dude, he hates the bat. Like, it is such a weird...
Well, his whole thing is you can't be a leader and do that. And he's talking about the quarterback. What about the head coach? He's going to have an aneurysm.
You're right. He might. This might kill Colin Cowherd.
Dan Quinn just needs a pair of Oakleys and he will have completed the insurrectionist look. That is true.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn does look like he stormed the Capitol.
Yeah, he does.
100%.
He's one of you. All right.
One of us. Thank you.
That's all we have time for.
It's a movement.
We got to get on to the club. I got some cool stuff here. We've got Diddy audio, which really isn't that cool, but have you seen all the Diddy stuff that's getting thrown out there now?
Yeah, there's a lot of weird...
Because people are going back and mining the past videos and interviews for outrage, you know?
Well, unfortunately now, we know one of two things. Well, we know two things. It's a matter of what names come out. We know he abused a lot of celebrities, especially young celebrities. And we know that other people that hung out with him were probably doing the same thing. So,
or at least party to it and kept their mouths shut. Yeah.
It's wild. We'll start there. Club 1080 next on The Fan.